but glorious. Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the machine, Brian Cage. How are you doing, Stephen Brown?
I'm doing alright,
So huge thanks to Fight Network UK for setting up this interview and for you for joining me. So I just want to start at a bit of a beginning. So you've got a unique style for a guy of your size. Growing up, were you a fan of cruiserweight wrestling?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was kind of everything wrestling. I mean, I give the most credit to Chris Canyon. I mean, that's the person I even myself the most out of, just because of all his innovative offense. So,
yeah.
And then, I mean, I was like, the cruiserweight stuff, but I never even planned or thought I'd ever be doing any cruiserweight stuff. It just, that just kind of happened as well. Like, a lot of the stuff I never, like, planned on doing, I just would try to do it, and I could. So I was like, oh, well, F it. I might as well do it then.
Brilliant. Was there a wrestler you wanted to mold your style around when you started training?
I mean, when I first started training, I was a lot smaller as well. So I think it helped adapt.
Yeah.
As I, you know, grew into my size, if you will, because I was always wrestling, so always training, so that helped kind of keep my athleticism and my footwork and everything else. Even then, you know, I still was much quicker and smoother and fluid. Obviously, when I was smaller, just kind of a price you pay as you gain size. But that definitely helped adapted me into it. And that's why I always say to you, I'm not a bodybuilder trying to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
I'm a wrestler just happened to bodybuild.
So take us back to your first match. What do you remember about it in hindsight? Do you think it was any good? Or?
You know what? I mean, I guess it depends on which match I had my first match. I look back, you know, and there's a lot of matches too that I think are a lot better than I watch. Like, there's nothing. There's nothing in there that's, I feel like that's like, absolutely terrible.
No.
And I remember, like, my, what I consider to be my first, like, GoPro match, if you will, was a match which was Chris Canyon in my hometown. And, I mean, obviously that was, that's still probably my top three favorite matches of all time.
Wow.
I absolutely loved it. And I remember, I was like, I could be retired tomorrow, and I was like, I could be done. Like, I'd be happy still with my career. But, I've enjoyed my career entirely. Like I said, some matches I feel like are a lot better than they are, but I don't think there's any match I've ever watched looking back on, oh wow, that was the shit. I mean, unless it just was all in all, I don't like the match anyway, but any match I thought was high on, I thought I did pretty well in, I still feel like I did alright.
Hey everybody, this is Steve Wilson, the man behind the monster Kongo Kong, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
So 2018 has been a great year for you. So what brought you to Impact initially?
You know, Scott just threw me a pitch of, hey, here's where we're at. Here's where we're trying to go. We'd love you to be part of it. Would you like to, jump aboard and help us turn the ship around? And I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit hesitant at first, just because, you know, Impact Wrestling wasn't a cool place to be at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, after mulling it over and thinking about it, I said, ah, you know what? Sure. I said, let's give this a go. And I think it was definitely a wise choice on my behalf. And I've had a hell of a year. I mean, the best year I've ever had this past year. And I definitely think that Impact has gotten much cooler again as far as being a fan of it or working there. And to be one of the factors in that has been awesome and meaningful. And, you know, I've enjoyed my time there tremendously and looking forward to an even better 2019.
Yeah, I have to say, since Scott and Don have taken over, I've got ripped back into it. I went for about four years without watching it. But I thought I'd give it a go once I heard that they all taken over, and I've enjoyed it ever since. Watch it every week.
Yeah.
So you won the X Division Championship at Slammiversary, which is considered one of the pay-per-views of the year. Were you surprised by the response of Slammiversary for not just Impact fans, but the wrestling community as a whole?
To be honest, I knew Slammiversary was going to be good.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view before that was going to be good. Or was good. But I was surprised how good Slammiversary was. Like, I knew it was going to be good, but it even blew past my expectations. And then to see so many people coming out of the woodworks and saying how great it was, feel like that was the big turning point for Impact.
Yeah, definitely.
Was it like almost unanimously everyone, you know, were you like Impact, were you watch Impact or not, were you hate or not, everyone, there's like almost no negative comments. Everything, like, damn, that was a really good show.
That was a brilliant show, yeah. So you successfully defended your title against Matt Sydal in Phoenix, which won. Did you have a favorite feud or a match as the X Division champion?
You know what? I really, really, really like my match with Phoenix. I know that was just a one-off. Outside of that, Matt, I think Matt Sydal is great. He's actually the my top choice I'd love to work with. Impact.
Yeah.
That I'd never have. I think everything Sydal does in the ring is tremendous. And obviously, like, probably the most attention-building feud was with Sami Callihan and OBE.
Yes.
And then obviously, if you go back to my beginning, I know everybody was thrilled to be able to see me and Lashley. I would have loved to have done something with Lashley, you know, more long term.
Yeah.
And have a bigger payoff to it, but I mean, we did what we could, and I still enjoyed that as well.
Impact Wrestling Homecoming has a very exciting card so far. You got Blanchard versus Valkyrie, LAX versus Phoenix and Pentagon, Abyss versus Drake and a Monster Ball, and the Ultimate X match for the vacant title, X Division title, so, which you vacated after defeating Sami Callihan when you invoked option C and you challenged Johnny Impact for the championship at Homecoming. So before we get into the match, what's your opinion on option C as a concept?
You know, I think it's unique, and it has a little bit of a surprise / what if factor.
Yeah.
And originally I wasn't going to plan to use that. I wanted to do some more with X Division title.
Mm.
But I've had such a great year in 2018, and I thought there'd be no better way than to start 2019 as world champion. You know, here we are a year later from when I re-debuted with Impact.
Yeah.
Going back to the Asylum for Homecoming, so it's kind of like everything comes full circle. I'm like, you know what? I've never got the opportunity. I've never been able to be the guy, you know, the top guy on any roster, on any player. And I feel like I've never got the opportunity to either. So I said, you know what? I've had this for a while. I've had some awesome matches. I know the strap got held up a little bit during the OBE feud, but you know what, forget it. Let's go ahead and cast this sucker in.
Yeah.
Let's go for the world title and make my own destiny.
Yes, yeah, so, Johnny Impact, you must have wrestled him a lot of times over the years. Do you have a favorite match between the two of you?
My favorite match? You know what? We had a cage match in Lucha Underground. I really like that one.
Wow.
That one was really good. There's that, and maybe our very first encounter as well was pretty nice.
Oh, great.
But, so, I mean, there hasn't been one match we've ever had that, you know, has been bad, so. And I'm sure this won't probably top them all.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So, what should the listeners expect from the main event of Homecoming?
Oh, well, I mean, the great pay-per-views, the Impact has been putting out, especially this anniversary, I actually, on paper, this one looks better. And all of them.
It does.
We have bangers in 2018. I'm actually really excited as a fan to watch it. And then, even then, as great as the lineup is, I still fully expect for me and John to go up there and steal the show and have the best match, have the match tonight. And that's not even just being big-headed trying to put us over, because that's a tall order with what we have to go up against. But I feel like we're both fully capable. We both know what we bring to the table. We both know what we can do in the ring. And I think we're going to make a little bit of magic.
Yeah, this is going to be our first review of next year, and I'm so looking forward to reviewing this pay-per-view. just on the card based on so far, I'm sure some more matches will be announced. But...
Yo, everybody in the UK, it's your boy, Shook D. I'm coming at you live in living color, surround sound, letting you know that there hasn't been this much mayhem since the Boston Tea Party, and I'm just letting you know that you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
So I've had a few listener questions sent in. That's okay. So RJ asks, what one thing does Impact need to do to get close to his competition?
I think the biggest thing that Impact needs is just a TV deal with a station that has more reach.
Yeah.
And I'm not even trying to say anything negative about Pop, but like, no matter how well it does, you know, say it does X amount of numbers, and it's like if it has 300 views, there's only 500,000 people to have Pop World, you know, it's reaching almost its max potential.
Yeah.
Regardless of the time slot or whatever. So, for it to get, you know, more eyes on it and to get sponsorships, that's the only way to do that is to be on a TV station or network that has the capability of having more people see it. So, I mean, as far as the production value, the talent, the product itself as a whole, I mean, I don't really think there's much, too many loose ends or, you know, weak links in any of those chains. I think the main issue, and I didn't want to say it bad, like, to be negative, but it's like the main thing that they need is just a better TV network to be able to have a wider reach and hit a broader audience.
I think that's why you've always had such a huge following in the UK, because you've always been on a free-to-air channel, so the whole country can watch it if they wanted.
Well, yeah, and I know that's why I feel the same too. Like, oh, okay, more people watch it because it's on a more, you know, available network. So obviously, you know, you come to with what you work with. I mean, you know, I know they have the app. I know they do well with like putting stuff on YouTube, so you can keep up with the show and catch all the highlights, which is great. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't have the reach on TV, then again, even if you're maxing out your home base, if you only have, you know, a few people to be able to watch it, well, then it's not gonna, you know, really grow you that much.
Okay, the Brocast podcast asks, who is your dream opponent, and what has been your favorite match?
My dream opponent has always been AJ Styles.
Wow.
And I don't know if he's there anymore, but yeah, I know he came through, and you know, he's the guy that kind of helped put Impact on the map. And I've always been super amazed by him. He was one of the reasons I even like watched, you know, Impact back in the day when I was a teenager. I was like, dude, who's this guy? He's amazing. And then I started seeing all the indie setup with him and, you know, Ring of Honor and whatnot. I always thought AJ Styles was just absolutely the best.
Yeah.
So I'd love a chance to work it with him. As for, you said, and what's my favorite match?
Yes.
Oof, man, so rough. I have so many from different, like, kind of views to pick one. It's so hard. I mean, just throw out a few different ones. Like, one of my all-time favorite matches from, like, when I started my career was, again, against Chris Kanyon. I absolutely love my favorite opponent ever is Tyson Kidd, TJ Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably hands down one of the best ever. And wow. Was very underrated, underutilized in his time in WWE before he was injured. And what happened to him was a travesty. And it just sucks. I wish he would have gotten to do more because he was just so good, so good.
He seemed to be just restarting to get into the main event of NXT, and then the injury came, and he could have propelled him up to somewhere good. So.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. He was so good, so good. I mean, one of my favorite matches, I mean, my private match with Matt Sydal and Phoenix, probably one of my favorite matches in Impact. Matanza, for the world title, Lucha Underground, is up there. That was a really, really good match. Man, what else? I don't know. There's so many ones I'm like, oh, I forget about it. It's just like hard to like, makes it like, why it makes that one, you know, better than any other one. But I mean, there's been a lot, and I've been blessed to have it. Oh, my match against Nakajima.
Yeah.
And Noah for the world title last year. That was up there too. That was really, really good.
Well, cool. I'll have to look at that one. I've not seen that one. So, last one's from my son, Joel. So he said, I hear you're a huge superhero fan. Firstly, yep. What would be your superpower?
If I was a superhero, what would be my superpower?
Yeah, that's his first question.
Oh, man. I don't know. There's so many. My favorite superhero is Wolverine, so I'd love to be Wolverine. That'd be badass. But, I mean, I've always thought about that, as I'm sure any superhero fan does. Like, you know, having power in the real world, I'm like, man, if you could be like, you know, have like Magneto's power, like, everything would be so easy. You could just, you know, do this or that. You could open up a phenomenal car detail shop or whatever, you know,
yes.
undo all the dance and the paint, no problem, like, whatever. But, you know, then obviously there's the thought of time travel, flying, stopping time, like, there's so many different little elements that would be able to be like little cheats or hacks for day-to-day life. I mean, obviously, I think Wolverine would be the most badass, but, yeah, I think some sort of teleportation or like time freeze or maybe even Master Magnet. I can't say that word right now. But, you know, would probably be like the three most convenient, I guess.
having an adamantium body in wrestling, that would help, I guess.
So,
so what superhero movie are you most looking forward to coming out next year?
Oh, well, if everyone's not super looking, not even superhero movie, Avengers 4 should be everyone's movie they're looking
forward
to.
I'm so excited.
Dude, I'm so pumped for it. I mean, like, it sucks too, because, like, Captain Marvel looks cool, but, like, it's so West and Avengers 4.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to watch it, but I feel like it's just, like, the opening act before Avengers 4. No one really cares about it. It gets so overshadowed. Like, hey, man, like, a month later, Avengers 4 comes out. I just want to see the post-credits scene. Let's get to it. Let's get on.
All right, so before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
Sure, yeah. You can follow me, which you already should, and if you don't, then get on at Brian Cage on Instagram, Mr. GMSI underscore B Cage on Twitter. People get confused by name a lot, but I'm verified, so I can't change it. And then just Brian Cage button on Facebook. Or, Pro Wrestling Tees. ProWrestlingTees.com/ Brian Cage for any Brian Cage merchandise. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I put all the descriptions in the link below, in the description below this interview. So I've really enjoyed speaking to Guy, and good luck, and I hope you win at homecoming.
Thank you, man. I feel pretty good about it, so we'll see.